Welcome back to the CTB show, the first Monday of the NFL season, and it's the day that everyone loves to overreact on everything, and that's exactly what we're going to sit and do here today. I'm Thomas Pogranik, as always, joined by Christian Catanacci. Cat, how was your first NFL Sunday? I mean, not even Sunday. We've pretty much had football every single day. We've got more football to come tonight, the opener Thursday, Friday in Brazil, and then all day yesterday.
I mean, it's great. And it's even better when your favorite team starts off week one, 1-0. I think that's honestly one of the most underrated feelings ever. Unfortunately, only 16 teams get to feel the way, I mean, both of us are feeling today. But look, like you alluded to before, there is nothing worse, especially when it comes to football, than your team losing and you got to hear the whole week. Because week one overreactions are like the worst. They're at the top peak of everything. And we'll break it down. What's an overreaction? What isn't an overreaction? But I enjoyed a great, great weekend of football. We had my engagement party on Saturday as well, right? Yeah. We had a good time. We had a couple drinks, you know.
Segue into Sunday
morning. Yeah, it was great. We got to sit up. We had to sit on our couch all hungover on Sunday and just enjoy a nice, relaxing day of football. But it was great. More to come tonight. An absolute outstanding game tonight. I mean, by the time you're listening to this, it'll already be over. So if it's a dud, we don't know yet. Yeah. But it's shaping up to be an absolute great game. But yeah, Pac, your Dolphins look great. They looked shaky at first, but you know they came back.
It's a win that we needed. Looking ahead to Thursday, I will be in the building for Thursday as well, which makes it even more exciting. But yes, you mentioned it, week one overreactions, they're crazy. And I think that's one of my favorite parts about the week one aftermath, being able to weed out what is real, what is fake, what's going to continue, what was just a one-game blip that you don't really have to worry about. And something that really caught my eye before we recorded today, I went back and I looked at week one last year just to see, you know, maybe a great team lost. I mean, the Chiefs lost. They went on to win the Super Bowl. But one thing I noticed, it's not even a team result. It's a player stat. Week one last year, Puka Nacua had 119 receiving yards. Nobody knew who Puka Nacua was. And he burst onto the scene and he went on to have one of the greatest rookie wide receiver seasons ever. So in week one against the Seahawks, he had 119 receiving yards. In that very, very same game on that very, very same team, Tutu Atwell had the exact same amount of receiving yards, 119 receiving yards. So my point is, there's some things that we saw yesterday that are going to happen every single week for the rest of the season. There's some things that we saw yesterday that it's just a one-off. You know what? Maybe the Bengals aren't going to lose to a team like the Patriots that we all think is going to be pretty bad this year every single week. I don't know. That's what we're all going to do today. We have our six biggest reactions from week one. You're going to give three. I'm going to give three. And then later on in the show, we, of course, are going to get into our spread picks, which, by the way, we're 3-0 at right now.
Hoping to be 4-0.
We'll see. Right? We'll see if Aaron Rodgers can come through to you. I hope he doesn't. But your first big takeaway from week one.
My first takeaway of week one is I'm going to look at a struggling quarterback down in Carolina. And I don't mean to kick someone while they're down, but I'm just rather patting myself in the back. My first takeaway is Bryce Young is exactly who I thought he would be. Exactly, to the point. I mean, look, I sat on this podcast well over a year now, and I said, you got to be absolutely out of your mind to take Bryce Young at number one if you're Carolina. After trading what you traded, you're going to go and take a small, just very, sure, if you want to call him pro ready, go ahead. But the upside, in my opinion, it was always limited when you compare him to CJ Stroud, who's been absolutely phenomenal, and now Anthony Richardson, who just might have the best arm that I've ever seen. We will get into Anthony Richardson later, but Bryce Young now, he just played his 17th game, so he's got a full season of stats, and his stat line sits at 3,000 passing yards, 11 touchdowns, 12 picks, and a passer rating of, where is it here, 71.5, which is, I mean, look, 17 games into a career, I'm not going to just absolutely shut the book completely, but I always thought that Bryce Young would become just, just an average. He felt very average to me. I would watch him. He just felt average. I get it. He was throwing to superstars everywhere at Bama. And that's sort of double-edged sword when you have these quarterbacks coming out of big schools like that. It's just, it's hard to read. But for me, every time I watched Bryce Young, he just didn't excite me. And I mean, Carolina's not the greatest team. I get it. But he just feels like it's, if there's a quarterback that's going to bust from that draft, which I think it's, I don't think it's harsh to call him a bust already. Bryce Young, to me, it's just, I'm not surprised at all. I just knew that this would happen. I mean, I took the Saints all over in Survivor. People thought, call me crazy. I just, look, very boring. It's a very boring team and a quarterback that, to me, just, he was always missing something. I still don't know what it is. I still don't. But to me, he just was never it. And I think I'm going to be ultimately right in the end of the day.
I'm eating my words big time on this one, because this was a double-ended sword for me, because not only did I hail Bryce Young last week as the quarterback to take the next step this year, I also talked a lot of smack about the New Orleans Saints this entire offseason. Just everything went wrong on Sunday with the Saints absolutely blowing out Bryce Young. In terms of your take specifically, I am not quite ready to completely press the panic button with him yet. I don't know. Call me crazy. I know 17 games, you're getting to now a point where the sample size is pretty big, but it's week one under a new head coach. And the stat that's maybe most glaring for me from last season was that he was sacked 62 times. Now, a lot of that could be on him because he's smaller and he probably has a hard time escaping from the pocket, stepping up and avoiding pressure. But I don't know. He was first overall for a reason. I keep finding myself saying that, and I don't know if that's just me hanging on to something that I believe is there but just isn't, or if genuinely that talent just needs a little bit more help around him to come out. Because it's not always right away with these guys. Not everyone is C.J. Stroud, and it's very unfortunate how bad he's looked and how good C.J. Stroud has looked. I'm sure that doesn't help, but I don't know. I watched Tua for his first couple years, and he's definitely not the player that he is today, but he still showed me quite a bit more than Bryce Young has shown me now. So, Bryce Young, if you're going to keep me on your side here, you got to start to show me a little bit more. But week one under Dave Canales, young head coach, I'm not all out quite yet.
Who I do like the head coach. Like, don't get me wrong. I do like the head coach. I think it's a good hire. I think it's, if he's going to succeed, it's going to be under Canales, but like, I don't know. Like, even the first pick, the first pass that he threw was an interception, and the pocket was clean. It just was a flat-out miss. Like, you got to be able to make play-action throws like that. The guy's open. You got to hit him. And the easy routine plays that a first overall pick, let alone average NFL quarterback, should be making, he is missing. So, that's my first takeaway. We'll go to yours.
Yeah, 1 o'clock on Sunday was phenomenal. There's so much excitement. Sitting down, hearing Scott Hansen with the first 7 hours of commercial-free football, watching the first kickoff, it's all great. And I'm scrolling through all the games, and I said to myself, are they showing a rerun right now? How come they're showing a game from the 2023 season? Because the Atlanta Falcons are still those same Atlanta Falcons, and the Pittsburgh Steelers are still those same Pittsburgh Steelers, and I don't care if they got different quarterbacks. Atlanta comes out all this offseason hype. You got Bijan, you got Drake London, you got Kyle Pitts. Kirk Cousins is supposed to be this magical plug-and-play quarterback that's just going to unlock all of these guys. And I get it. Again, I may sound a little hypocritical here because I was just defending Bryce Young. Game one under a new head coach. I'm sure Kirk Cousins is going to settle in, but with all that excitement to, in a home game, score 10 points and lose, it's just like, how much better is that than Desmond Ridder? To throw for 160 yards, a touchdown, and two picks. Kirk, I know you're coming off an Achilles. I'm a big Kirk Cousins guy, but when I watch that game, it's just like these Falcons, they're the same team. Mm-hmm. And then let's move over to my favorite team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I feel like because of how unlikable they are offensively around the NFL, so many people find them boring, it just makes me want to root for these guys even more. Winning a game with 16 points, it's just incredible. Chris Boswell, 6 for 6 on field goals. I love it. It doesn't matter who their quarterback is. They find ways to win. And I will touch on the quarterback quickly. I think they should stick with Justin Fields going forward. I think he presents a higher ceiling. I think he'll settle in. And as the season goes on, I expect him to be much better. But for now, through 1 week. Those Falcons, you got to figure it out offensively. We need better play than what Desmond Ridder was giving you. And the Steelers, it's the same thing. Just don't turn the ball over offensively. Get in field goal range a couple times a game, and the defense is going to take care of the rest. This team is going to win 9 games this year. They're going to be in playoff contention in December.
You know, I can't. I'm in no position to make a comment on this game because I watched it for 2 minutes and I immediately shut it off. Go. So I don't have the capacity to make a comment on it. But look, just by watching the box score and watching 2 minutes from it, I'm like, okay, that's all I got to see for these guys here. So, I mean, look, I got to agree, right? I got to agree. It's boring football for Pittsburgh, but it somehow works. And I like to poke fun at it. I like to, you know, rattle Pittsburgh Steeler Nation over there. But look, you got to give credit where credit's due, right? They find ways to win games. It's ugly, but they win football games. Another team that is sort of getting, it's going to be on the topic of number one overall picks again. I'm going to talk about Caleb Williams, but it's not necessarily what the national media is making it seem out to be. Like, everyone's saying, like, oh, Caleb Williams got bailed. Like, bailed. They're using the term bailed. You search up the Bears on Google right now, and I guarantee you the 3 or 4 top headlines are Bears bailed. Caleb Williams bailed. Why don't we just take away the fact that I know Caleb Williams is going to be good. It's his first career start. But I didn't think I realized how good this Bears defense is going to be. Like, they are legit. And my second takeaway is the Bears have a defense that could help them be legitimate threats in the NFC South, in the NFC North, sorry. I think this team, right, I know the offense is going to come around. I know Caleb Williams is going to come around. It's his first career start. He's not going to throw for 60 yards every single game, right? He's going to be good. Right, this team has too many weapons. It's too good offensively to be to do that every single week. But that defense, the fact that they just kept fighting, and finally took over the game and really willed them to victory. Like, that game was on the Bears defense, and I think that, to me, that's the biggest sign of a really good football team. The fact that the defense is able to do that early, showing that they can do that early. Like a punt return touchdown, pick six. I mean, it wasn't great offensively, but the defense kept you in the game and ultimately won. And I think that alone shows me that come midseason, I think the Bears are going to be positioned perfectly to really make a push for the playoffs. And I go even a step further for that NFC North division title.
Definitely not the way I imagined the Bears winning. Not at all. Especially if you told me they're going to score 24 points. Win by a touchdown. In the first start of Caleb Williams' career, I did not expect him to throw 93 yards. But this brings me into my second takeaway. Rookie quarterbacks are rookie quarterbacks, and I think we need to temper our expectations. Caleb Williams is one thing. Jaden Daniels, I thought he showed flashes of being good. Obviously, his athleticism. Would have liked to see him maybe go downfield a little bit more with the ball, but it'll come. There's a lot of time. The main guy I want to talk about is Bo Nix, because he was just getting blasted. I even saw Denver media turning on him after one game, and I get it. There were some ugly moments. He could have thrown 5, 6 interceptions in that game. That one late interception was just right into triple coverage, just a throw that you absolutely cannot make. And everyone with this guy is loving to point to his age, about, oh, he's 24 years old. You know, he should be ready, as if just because he's a couple of years older than some of the other rookies means he has more NFL experience. Like, it takes a while to adjust to the NFL game. Look at every single elite quarterback right now. A lot of them, it did not happen overnight.
No.
There are some guys that when they got into the league, guys who put up big, big numbers now, when they got into the league, they were a fraction of the quarterbacks that they are today. And I just think that when you have a rookie quarterback, expect mistakes, expect boneheaded turnovers. It is going to come. It's going to take a while for them to, one, learn what open looks like in this league. I don't know if you saw that Trevor Lawrence throw this past
unbelievable
week
throw
to Brian Thomas Jr. A rookie quarterback is never going to even know how to make that
no,
throw.
No, they would never even attempt it because they wouldn't even, like you said, you wouldn't even know that guy was open. That's a possibility,
it
right?
It takes time to adjust to this league. It takes time to gel with your weapons. I'm sure through Bo Nix's career, they're going to start to get him some better weapons as well. So my big thing is, yeah, there was a lot of ugly play from young court. Even Will Levis, I'll count him as a rookie just because, you know, he only started 8 games last year. ugly, ugly performance. Cut them some slack. It takes some time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think your take about, you know, look, as much as you want these quarterbacks to come in and just sling for 350 yards in their first game, it's just not going to happen, right? It might happen the odd ball, but for the most part, it's not. It's just not realistic. And I know for sure who isn't going to throw for 350 and four touchdowns anytime soon. And that takes me to my third takeaway. Deshaun Watson, it's time to pack it in, buddy. I honestly, and I really mean this, I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback, let alone player, go from the top and just absolutely fell off a cliff. Like he didn't, like it's like he forgot how to play quarterback. It's routine throws, it's sideline throws, it's basic footwork, and it's like he looks lost. And this is a guy that just got $220 million fully guaranteed in a contract. I mean, not just, but he's playing on that contract. This was a guy that was widely considered a elite quarterback, a top five quarterback, just 2 years ago. Like, what is going on, right? In 13 games now with the Browns, he's got 15 touchdowns, 11 picks, and just 2,300 yards. Like, what is going on? And this isn't just a Browns team that's like, you're talking Carolina, where it's just boring, they don't have weapons. They got Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, David Njoku, great offensive line, great run game. Like, heck, Joe Flacco took this team to the playoffs last year. What the hell are you doing? Like, it makes no sense. And the fact that he also, I thought, again, this is just me looking in and being skeptical, but there was a clip that was going viral on Twitter today. Joel Bitonio, he was reaching his hand up. Did you see that clip?
Yeah, I didn't want to help him out.
Deshaun Watson went to go help him out, and he didn't.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't even know if these guys like him. I'm not in the locker room, so I can't make necessarily a full comment on it, but just off of face value, it's like, this is a disaster. It's an absolute disaster. Like, they got to consider benching this guy. It's brutal. And look, we sat here a couple shows ago and we talked about the AFC North division, and we said that one of these teams has to fall back. And it's crazy to think that a team that just lost to the Pats, I'm still saying that the Browns are going to be that team that just falls off a cliff just because Deshaun Watson is so, so bad.
This guy came in as a rookie, threw 19 touchdowns in six starts. The next two seasons, he was 11-5 and 10-5 with, you know, 20-plus touchdowns, limited turnover numbers. His fourth year, he threw 4,800 yards and 33 touchdowns. I know that was a bad team he was on, but he was, like, head and shoulders the best player on the field.
He willed them to the playoffs.
Yeah. He was just so, so, so good when he came to the league. And like you said, the fall-off from a pure talent level, like a player that I feel like has had a similar fall off in terms of how they've been viewed around the league is Antonio Brown. And that's not the same at all, because he was still amazing.
He just
didn't want to play football for the Raiders. And then he went to the Bucks and was leaving in the middle of the game and taking off his equipment. Like, that's what it took for Antonio Brown to fall off. Deshaun Watson just flat out terrible. And yeah, the Browns are definitely looking back at that decision to trade for him. And shaking their heads already. I mean, as a Jameis fan, always love to see him get some action. I don't know if it's going to happen. Like you said, still early. Maybe in November, we're looking back and being like, oh, we were too hard on Deshaun. But this is the one that I'm willing to stick my arm out and say, I don't think we're being too harsh here. Last but not least, my Miami Dolphins. I didn't really want to give them too much love because it was a bit of a sloppy game that they played. But then I started to think about it. The Dolphins have been a team that, early in the season, September, they blow everyone out. They look so good. Everything goes right for them. And then as the season gets, you know, as the season drags on, as it gets colder, face more adversity, play some tougher teams, they just absolutely collapse. And this is the first time in a while that they've won a game where, one, they probably shouldn't have won it. Two, they had to make some really, really big plays in key moments. And three, they faced adversity down the stretch from start to finish in this game. They were down 17-7 with the Jaguars about to walk into their end zone, and they end up winning the ball 20-17 thanks to a Javon Holland peanut punch that was just really a game-changing moment in this one. Tua, he looked off in the beginning. Tyreek Hill wasn't getting involved. Next thing you know, 80-yard touchdown. Then you mix in the whole the whole storyline of Tyreek and Calais Campbell being arrested before the game, which just
wait, Calais
like
Campbell too?
The story goes that Calais Campbell went to Tyreek Hill's aid to kind of say, like, hey, like, what's going on over here and everything. And Calais Campbell is one of the most respected players in the NFL. 15-year veteran, Walter Payton Man of the Year. Everyone just seems to love this guy. He's a captain in his first year in the Dolphins. He was cuffed too, like put in handcuffs. So it just seems like a crazy, crazy situation for Tyreek Hill to come out, have the game that he did after that. Calais Campbell got a sack on his first play of the game too. So both of them went out and they had great games. And yeah, it's just, it was a weird, weird game in South Florida and one that in the past, a Dolphins team wouldn't win. So that was one that turned heads for me. They finally show some character. I feel like in December, in November, when they're battling for this division, this is going to be a game that turns out to be very, very important. So yeah, those are our six biggest takeaways from week one. Like you said, it's not over tonight. We got the Jets and the 49ers. You need those Jets.
Yep, I do.
To have
just to cover. Just got to cover.
A 4-0 week.
Yep.
In our game picks.
Which I think we did start 4-0 last year too, week one. I'm pretty sure we did.
Gives me less confidence because I was like, oh, this year's going to be different. But I feel like both of us last year actually had some pretty good records.
Yeah, we did. We did. It was good.
Well, we're getting into our week two game picks now. And once again, those are sponsored by our friends over at PointsBet, the official betting partner of the CTB show. If you're the ultimate competitor and you know the value of a home field advantage, you got to get on the PointsBet app where the advantage is yours. They've got top-notch customer service and easy deposits. So make sure to come and make your picks with us on PointsBet and enjoy a seamless Sunday of football. Kat, you had first pick last week. That means that I am on the clock. And I don't know. I don't like this. I'm a little scared. I was looking at the lines earlier in the day. I'm facing a lot of pressure to keep that record perfect. But I am going to start out with the Washington Commanders -2.5 at home going up against the New York Giants. And yes, I just had this rant about rookie quarterbacks and how they can be prone to disaster. But you know who else is prone to disaster? These New York Giants, because this is one of the biggest tire fires in the NFL right now. They looked so bad at home against a Sam Darnold-led Minnesota Vikings team that when I look at the Commanders, you got to circle this as one of the must-win games of the season if you want to be competitive this year. You're at home facing the weakest opponent in your division. They only got to win by a field goal. I'm taking them to do that. I think Jaden Daniels will just be too much to handle for this Giants team, and I don't think Daniel Jones and this Giants offense are going to be able to keep up.
Yeah, you know, this is a game that I contemplated taking. I ultimately didn't just because it felt a little too risky, but it leaves on the board for me my number one choice of the week, and this is just me betting on the fact that the quarterback's probably not going to play. I'm going to go and I'm going to take the Indianapolis Colts. I get it, they're on the road. They're 3.5-point favorites at Lambeau Field. Well, be it, I think this line is going to move a bit because if Jordan Love gets ruled out, which he's going to be ruled out, and Malik Willis is starting this game, there is no chance. This line's becoming 6-7-point favorites. I get it. You're on the road, so it probably might not be that high, but at least another point. At least to another point, maybe 1.5. Colts will be 5-point favorites. So it's just a value play for me. Give me the Colts 3.5. Got nothing more to say other than the Colts look pretty good, and the Packers, even with Jordan Love, didn't look the greatest, but I still would probably have leaned the Packers if Jordan Love's playing this game, just home opener. But Malik Willis, buddy, ain't with nothing with Malik there under center. So give me the Colts -3.5.
Yeah, Malik Willis, in his limited action in the NFL.
Couldn't even throw a Hail Mary.
He's given zero confidence that he can be a Colts team that, I mean, they look solid. And I think Anthony Richardson's going to have his ups. He's going to have his downs. One of the weirder stat lines of the week, too. What did he complete? Like 11, 12 passes?
And yep.
Some of them were just absolute missiles. But he missed Adonai Mitchell on a couple big bombs as well. That was actually on my list. I may have taken that if you didn't. But I like this because now you've made my decision for me. And this is a game that I've had circled on my calendar since the schedule came out because it's the Steelers going into Denver.
Ooh.
And this is the whole Russell Wilson revenge game. He's returning there. Now, I don't know if he's going to play. When he doesn't play, he still dresses, which is the most Russell Wilson thing ever. Yeah, I don't know if you saw that. Yes. Fully dressed, shoulder pads and everything on the sideline. And he was ruled out like hours before the game.
No, That was so funny. I couldn't believe it.
I don't think he should play, but I kind of want him to because it would just be more fun in Denver. Regardless, to me, it doesn't matter who plays. I'm taking this matchup strictly because I believe so much in this Pittsburgh Steelers defense. The thought of TJ Watt getting in Bo Nix's face, a rookie quarterback against the Steelers defense, is a recipe for not only a loss, but one that could be an ugly loss. I don't know how much you've looked into the Steelers' schedule. They need all the wins that they can get early in the season
because
it just gets so, so hard down the stretch. So give me them -3 in Denver. Again, I'm going with the road team here.
Yeah, I love it.
I like it.
I love it, Pac. I do. I really, really like it. And you know what? I was hoping you were picking one of my two here because I wanted you to make the decision easy for me because I got two here that I like a lot. But I got one. I gotta stick with my gut here. I'm going to take the Cowboys.
Never a good idea.
I don't like it because it's 7, right? It's at 7. If it was 6.5, I'm hammering it. But 7 points, I'm still going to take it. Tell me why I'm going to take it, though, because this is an 8-0 team that on the road last year, they were 8-0. This is a good, good football team at AT&T Stadium. Sorry. And their average margin of victory last year was 20 points at home. 20.
That's like, crazy.
This is a team that is known to blow teams out. And the Saints are riding high, right? They pumped the Panthers, but I'm telling you right now, I sat here on the show last week and I said the Saints were going to win the first week. But what did I say? The Saints stink. They are not good. I'm not fooled by them. I expect the Cowboys to win comfortably. I expect them to cover the seven point line. I think Cooper Rush is going to get some snaps later on this game. That's how ugly I think this is going to get, especially if Marshawn Lattimore doesn't play. I think this game is going to be comfortable. I think the Cowboys are going to win. And even with my Jets pick tonight, I think I'm going to be looking at another. I think I'm going to be starting 4-0, Pac. I think. And I think you are too. I like your picks.
Oh, thanks.
It's concerning that we like these so much. Yeah, yeah. You know what? So, but look, those are our two picks there. I'm confident. I'm liking it. By the time you're listening to this, I'll be 2-0. Pac's 2-0 already here. But I mean, look, we might be new. You know, the Vegas Jake, the Trents. We should be in their spot because we know how to take lines. Trent is lost. Vegas Jake lost. Us, we know what we're doing here.
You're calling out people over here on the show.
Yeah, but the only way this works is if you're betting on points bet. It does. That's the only way this works. And if you're betting points bet using Cold Blitz, they got a ton of features. Honestly, it's the best sports book I've ever used, right? It's incredible, so user-friendly. The fact that you can just bet on anything is unbelievable. And you can come win with us. And now, starting every Monday, you can tail our same game parlays. Tail fade us if you want. Fade, I wouldn't suggest fading because you'd be losing money.
Don't you have Jets money line tonight, Emily?
No. I got Jets plus 4.5.
Okay, so you got
it's a lock. I'm telling you. So utter lock.
I got 49ers money line, CMC touchdown, which week one is the best value you're ever going to get on that one. And then I think I got Aaron Rodgers under. I'm fading Aaron Rodgers tonight, even though he's 10-0 on Monday Night Football's last 10. I think we just posted that. So
right. So you can go right on to pointsbet.com. You can either go onto their website, you can go to their app. You click the NFL section, and you'll see our picks every Monday night. You'll see it right below the game here. Right now, I'm looking right at it. Pox picks of the night: 49ers money line, Aaron Rodgers under passing touchdowns, McCaffrey anytime. That's +200. Mine's a little bit more juice, +650. Nuts. I'm taking the Jets +4. Brock Purdy over rushing yards, and Breece Hall anytime score. Lock those in if you want. You could fade us if you want, but
I think if you put all that together in like a 6-leg parlay,
we could be mortgaging here.
We could, let's say we could retire from the podcast. We wouldn't because we love doing this, but we could. We will keep looking ahead to next week and highlight our game of the week, give our predictions, break it down and everything. We got the Chiefs. And we've got the Bengals facing off. Always fun when Mahomes and Burrow go head to head. And Burrow's that one guy that has kind of gotten the best of Mahomes, at least more than other star quarterbacks have in the past. But he's coming off a real, real tough game and a loss to the New England Patriots. This is our game of the week, sponsored by our friends over at TickPick with absolutely zero hidden fees. TickPick is the ultimate destination to secure your tickets for any concerts, events, and most importantly, NFL games at the very, very best price. Use code CTB20 for $20 off any order on the site. Cat, game of the week this week, Chiefs, Bengals, 425. Joe Burrow's got some concerning stats in the first 2 weeks of the regular season in his career.
He does, and I'm going to read those out for you. He's 1-8. 1-8 in his 9 career starts in week 1 and 2. 63% completion and just 12 touchdowns paired with 9 interceptions. Like, this is a guy that, I mean, this is a team that, you want to just talk about this past week. It feels like every single year, they just always, for some reason, start the season so flat-footed, and the stats back it up, right? Like, we know this is a good quarterback. We know this is a good team. But why can't they put it together early in the year? And that's the biggest question mark for me, right? And it sucks that they're going to have to answer it against a team like the Chiefs, who just looked so good on Thursday. I almost wish this was a matchup that would be closer to like the November, December mark, but I have no reason not to pick the Chiefs here, even though the Bengals have had Patrick Mahomes' number as of recent. But give me the Bengals. Give me the Chiefs, not the Bengals. Give me the Chiefs to win pretty easily here. I think the Bengals still have a lot to figure out. They still got a lot behind the scenes going on with the Jamar Chase stuff. I think it's leaking in a little bit, as much as they don't like to say so. I think the Chiefs are winning this comfortably.
The Bengals just feel like the inverse of the Dolphins every year. They suck in September. By December, I mean, last year you called them, or maybe it was two years ago, the best team in the league. Come December, you said they're going to run the table and go win the Super Bowl. I think it actually was last year before Joe Burrow got hurt. You said they were going to run the table. But they just seem to get better as the year goes on. The Chiefs in September, Patrick Mahomes 16-4 in his career. He probably has a win percentage that good in every month. But the point is, these guys start strong. And I think this is going to be, I think it's going to be different this time around. I know the Bengals have gotten the better of the Chiefs many times in the regular season. Give me Patrick Mahomes in this one. I think it's going to be, I don't know, is it going to be a dud of a matchup?
I don't think it's going to be a dud. Because Burrow does get up for these games. He seems to be like a big game player, which he is, right? He's earned that respect. I just think they don't have the quality yet. To really rival the Chiefs. Like, I think if this is a game, like I mentioned, if it was in November, December, I think we're talking potential, like, upset, even if you want to call it an upset, but still too early on. With the stats don't necessarily back it up. I'm going to take the Chiefs, and I think it's going to be fairly comfortable.
All right, well, there you have it. Our game of the week, sponsored by our friends over at TickPick. That is going to do it all for another week of the CTB show. Football is back. We're 1 week in, 17 more weeks to go, and we're going to enjoy every single second of them. Like I said, I think maybe even the real game of the week is this Thursday when I'm in the building in Miami. We got Bills and Dolphins. Plenty of good, fun, exciting stuff coming up, and plenty of big plans that we have as well to give you the best football content all season long. So if you made it to the end, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure to like, subscribe, rate our podcast wherever you're listening. And we will see you next week.
See you guys.